This is Word of Mouth from NHPR. I'm Virginia Prescott. Drone has become a loaded word and code for a controversial tactic in America's military strategy, but that is just one aspect of what the technology offers. From high-end wedding videography to shopping delivery system to aerial firefighting tactic, the future is airborne and the possibilities are endless. Karen Brouillard is editor of Washington Post's Animalia blog, and she reported on a proposal to use drone strikes to save endangered ferrets. Karen, welcome to Word of Mouth.
Thanks. It's nice to be here.
Drones, ferrets, what's the connection here?
Well, just a little background. Black-footed ferrets, which live in the prairie lands of the central United States, are endangered. They're native to the United States, but they're very rare. And one of the reasons for this is that they are totally dependent on prairie dogs. And that's because they both eat prairie dogs, they're carnivores, and they live in prairie dogs' old abandoned burrows. And prairie dogs, as Americans pushed west and developed the heartland of the U.S. and also carried out a lot of prairie dog eradication programs, the population has dwindled. And so the ferrets have found themselves without much to prey on. It got to the point where there were something like only 18 of these ferrets left in the country. Wildlife biologists scooped them up, started a captive breeding program, and they've since been reintroduced to a couple dozen places in the U.S., in Canada, and Mexico. So now U.S. Fish and Wildlife is really focused on keeping their population growing and keeping them healthy, and that means they need to keep prairie dogs growing and healthy too. And so one of the problems is that prairie dogs often get the plague, and this is the plague that everybody knows about that's carried by fleas. And so plague is, as it kills prairie dogs, that means the ferrets then don't have enough to eat. Mm-hmm. So what they're trying to do is figure out the best way to deliver plague vaccine to prairie dogs. And one of the ways they've proposed to do this is by flying a drone and shooting pellets that are flavored with peanut butter and laced with plague vaccine down on prairie dog places where prairie dogs live and hoping they'll eat it.
So the prairie dogs will eat it and they will be eaten by the ferrets. What makes these ferrets an animal that the federal government is willing to go to this great lengths for?
Well, they're an endangered species. And, you know, once animals like that are protected, the federal government has to come up with a management plan and a plan to, you know, bring its population up and hopefully eventually get it off the list of endangered species and to a point where it can sustain itself.
You make the point they're also really cute.
They're very cute. They're very little. They have black feet, just like their name implies, and they've got little black masks.
So peanut butter pellet vaccine delivery by drones. Why not planes or ground vehicles or any other means?
They're also proposing to do this using ATVs. What they've been doing before to deal with this problem is spraying flea powder down into prairie dog burrows by hand, and that's extremely labor intensive. It requires people literally walking across the plains and using a wand to spray down into every single burrow. So they're proposing a couple more efficient methods, one of which would be attaching some sort of dispenser that will shoot the pellets out at a rate of every 30 feet or so, which they've found in tests gets a lot of, you know, something upwards of 3 out of 4 prairie dogs to eat the pellets. One of the ways they're thinking they'll do it is attaching some sort of dispenser to an ATV that would be driven by a person across the terrain. But drones would be even more efficient, probably cheaper than that, because A, it would require not paying any human to do it, and drones could more easily go across some of this sort of rockier and hillier terrain. Planes, on the other hand, because these pellets are very small and they have to be distributed very precisely, they would just have to fly too low. And again, that would just be more expensive. It would require somebody flying it.
Well, you found that there is some precedent for this kind of drop for animal control or well-being. Let's listen to this. This is a clip from the 1950s.
On the shores of Payette Lake are crates full of beavers, part of a shipment to be dropped by parachute from an airplane. Parachutes are attached to cargo lines, and the boxes are stacked in rows along the waist of the plane. 10 boxes to a load, 20 beaver ready for the flight to mountain.
Beaver dropped by parachute. What was going on here?
Yeah, well, as you said, the dropping peanut butter pellets by drone isn't the first time that airdrops have been used for conservation. This was a program in the 1950s in Idaho by Idaho state officials to redistribute beavers. Beavers apparently were causing problems on private property, you know, cutting down too many trees, I guess, with their big teeth. And so they were scooped up and they wanted to take them out into more remote places where their services and dam building skills might be useful to the terrain and to the rivers. So to do that, they made special little boxes, wooden boxes, I believe they were, and packed the beavers in them, but in pairs, and flew them out over these forests and dropped them by parachute down to the land. And once they dropped, the box sprang open and they scurried on their way.
Any more recent cases?
Not as wonderful as the beavers, but it is fairly common in lots of states, Texas I can think of, but also several states in the eastern United States do drop bait. Often it's sort of dog food type bait that's laced with rabies vaccine down to vaccinate raccoons and skunks and other animals against rabies.
You write that this is just a proposal at this point to drop the peanut butter vaccine pellets in the Great Plains, but we've heard of these kind of interventions before, and sometimes they're unintended consequences. Did they come up with any of those things that might happen, you know, other animals that might ingest this vaccine and do damage?
Yeah, they have thought about that, and the wildlife biologists I spoke to at Fish and Wildlife said that it doesn't really matter. It won't harm any other animals if they get the vaccine. But one way they're hoping to really target the prairie dogs is that they would drop these sort of in the early morning, I think it's just before dawn, which is when prairie dogs are really active, but the ferrets are not. So the ferrets would not be eating it, and other animals also aren't. So the hope is that prairie dogs would be the main consumers.
Well, maybe a way to upgrade popular opinion of drone warfare, this time on conservation. Can you think, Karin, of any other use of technology for helping out the natural world that we might not know about?
Wow, I think there's a lot, and I think that's a really growing area of wildlife conservation. You know, this isn't a very sophisticated form of technology, but one thing that's just totally proliferating are what's called camera traps. These are remote cameras that are out in the wilderness that are timed to take photos or videos at certain points when animals cross in front of them. And they've been able, by using these, biologists and other wildlife conservationists have been able to learn so much more about how animals act in their habitats, what populations of wild animals there are, what problems they're having. I wrote recently about remote cameras in the Chernobyl zone where people aren't allowed to go, and using those, they've discovered that there's pretty healthy population of wildlife there.
Karin, thank you very much for speaking with us.
You're welcome.
Karin Brilliard, she writes for The Washington Post and is editor of The Washington Post's Animalia blog. You'll find a link to read her article about potential use of drones to save endangered ferrets. The link is at our website, wordofmouthradio.org.